This week, the most popular YouTube video of all time has been hacked. Ransomware, third-party risk, time to get a new computer, mess with Oracle and go to jail, play a game to get your files back, and even security vendor products have security vulnerabilities. Jason Wood from Paladin Security joins us to talk about the dangers of universal plug and play, taking us all the way back to 2005. All that and more on this edition of Hack Naked News.
This is Security Weekly, for security professionals by security professionals. Broadcasting live from G-Unit Studios in Rhode Island, it's the show that brings you the security news each week. And despite popular belief, we do wear pants. It's Hack Naked News.
The breach was huge news at the time.
Linux monitoring tool.
List of affected devices. You can check out the link in the show notes.
Ars Technica is reporting that hackers have cracked the Nintendo Switch this week.
Tracking people's locations and stuff like that.
Figuring out where the military bases are by the United States of America. It's kind of interesting.
But, and not just the United States of America, as it turns out.
Do you have a website, an external presence, employees, an office? Any of these things can be compromised and attacked. How are you defending your assets? Have you penetration tested your public assets? Start 2018 by taking a proactive approach to securing your vulnerable areas. Black Hills Information Security has been helping companies find their weaknesses since 2008. Email consulting at blackhillsinfosec.com and see how they can help you sleep better at night. Welcome everyone to Hack Naked News, episode 168. For April 10th, 2018, I'm your host, Paul Sidorian, coming at you live from G-Unit Studios in Rhode Island. Quick reminder for everyone to check out our on-demand material. These are on-demand webcasts pre-recorded for your viewing and listening pleasure on all kinds of topics. We've got several in the queue coming up and have even several that are available today with some of our sponsors, as well as content from Security Weekly hosts. So you can check it all out and learn about all kinds of fun things at securityweekly.com/on-demand. And now for the security news. Google has banned crypto mining Chrome extensions because those extension authors refuse to play by the rules. After a policy that previously permitted them, Google has decided to remove any and all Chrome extensions that mine cryptocurrencies after finding that too many developers didn't play by the company's rules. Regardless of what those rules are, I think we need to see more of this. Apple has set the standard for providing a secure app store. Sure, not 100% foolproof, but they did set the standard. It's much better than ecosystems that are similar and created by Chrome, WordPress, Android, and more. Delta and Sears have suffered breaches blamed on malware attack against a third-party chat service. I couldn't discover exactly what the third-party chat service was. Maybe it'll come to light, or maybe I just missed it. However, security researchers are pinning this recent breach that potentially exposed the credit card information of hundreds of thousands of Delta Airlines and Sears Holding customers on weak third-party security policies. Yeah, but you can't just blame this on the third parties. There are well-defined processes and companies that will help you assess third-party risk and deal with it. So maybe you should use them. Intel admits it won't be possible to fix Spectre version 2 flaws in some of its processors. This means it's time to buy new computers, which I think is exciting because I'm a nerd. These vulnerability chip families, which are mostly old and went on sale between 2007 and 2011, will no longer receive microcode updates, leaving more than 230 Intel processor modules vulnerable to hackers, millions of computers and mobile devices. So go out and buy a new computer. It's fun. Authentication bypass vulnerability has been found in the Auth0 platform. Now, this one is kind of scary. I mean, you're an authentication company, and someone found an authentication bypass. Kind of scary. But the response was pretty solid. The security firm that reported the vulnerability to Auth0 team in October of 2017. The company acted very fast, and Auth0 addressed the vulnerability in less than 4 hours. So again, it's not so much about not having vulnerabilities as much as it is your ability to fix those vulnerabilities very quickly and handle the vulnerability disclosure in a responsible manner. Now, that requires collaboration between two parties to do that. And the Alt-Zero case, from what I've observed, went very well. And this next case, where a critical flaw was found in CyberArk Enterprise Password Vault. Now, before you freak out and want to throw things at CyberArk, they are a sponsor on one of our other shows. However, here's the thing. Security companies can have vulnerabilities too. And guess what? It's all about the way they handle that situation. As when you create software, it's bound to have a bug or vulnerability inside of it. CyberArk has done a great job of in the response in my assessment. The technical details of the vulnerability and exploit code came only after the Red Team, which is a company that reported it, responsibly disclosed the vulnerability to CyberArk, and the company rolled out a patched version of CyberArk Password Vault Web Access Enterprise using, I'm sorry, that got all kinds of messed up there. Their Password Vault versions, customers are encouraged to upgrade their software to version 9.95, 9.10, or 10.2. They also provided a workaround for those customers that may still be working on a patch. So there are two examples of security companies who had vulnerabilities and were responsibly disclosed by researchers and acted quickly and appropriately to fix those vulnerabilities. Jail for white-collar pirates who stole from Oracle. The bottom line here is don't mess with Oracle because, well, they have ninja lawyers, and this was a criminal case as well, but I'm sure Oracle's legal team was involved as it involved a theft of their software that was being resold. So the struggle between the software giant Oracle and services company Tetrix has finally concluded, with the latter CEO and co-founder, Bernd Appleby, being handed 2 years in jail. The U.S. tech executive has been put behind bars. It's not an everyday occurrence, but in this case, Oracle accused Tetrix of doing what was not the run-of-the-mill crime, according to Oracle's 2013 accusation. Along with a separate company called MainTech, Tetrix had illegally obtained software patches and firmware from Oracle's Solaris support site and secretly distributing them to their own customers on a commercial basis. That's a no-no. We kind of call that stealing, and they were caught and punished accordingly. Ransomware is in the news in a couple of different realms this week, and basically it means you need to be aware of this threat. So if you want to go check out the Verizon 2018 data breach report, the DBIR, you can do that. It basically says people aren't getting infected with malware. Not only that, but the U.S. CERT is up in arms about ransomware as well, issuing an alert on the ongoing threat of ransomware. So if you're not aware, ransomware is a thing, and you should probably protect your systems against that. Of course, that means just applying good security as well. So, Facebook privacy. How you can watch Mark Zuckerberg at a congressional hearing. I think it'd be kind of interesting to see what Zuckerberg has to say. It might be too late to watch it live, although there are some happenings, recordings or live streaming that's happening this afternoon. I'm sure there'll be a recording somewhere. However, the news is Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg arrived on Capitol Hill and is set to answer lawmakers' questions over the social media company's network's handling of user data in the Cambridge Analytics scandal. Should be interesting to watch and listen what questions are asked and Zuckerberg's responses. Speaking of ransomware that was just reported as being widespread, this one's kind of interesting. A new ransomware locks your files unless you play PUBG. Very creative ransomware here, as everyone loves, apparently, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, and one piece of ransomware seems to be in love with it so much that it's willing to lock down your computer's files until you spend quality time with the game. First spotted by the Malware Hunter team and reported by Bleeping Computer, PUBG ransomware is a bizarre program that encrypts a user's desktop, including all subdirectories with a .pubg extension, and tells you your files have been encrypted by PUBG ransomware, and don't worry, it's not hard to unlock it. He says, the author says, I don't want money. I just want you to play PUBG for 1 hour. Obviously, spelling and grammar are not something in the wheelhouse of the author, but really wants you to play this video game. The world's most popular YouTube video has been hacked. And no, it's not one of ours. And no, it's probably not what you think. Your guesses are likely wrong. However, Graham Cooley has pointed out my favorite article of the week. Hackers have managed to deface an array of popular YouTube music videos, changing the titles and thumbnail images. Amongst the victims was the most viewed YouTube video of all time. Anyone know? That would be Despacito by Puerto Rican singer Luis Fonsi featuring rapper Daddy Yankee. The video has been watched an astonishing 5 billion times. It had its thumbnail changed into an image of armed mask robbers from the TV heist drama La Casa de Papel, also known as Money Heist, and a message added underneath saying Free Palestine. The videos affected are part of the Vivo service, and the theory is that there is an issue with Vivo and not a widespread vulnerability and associated exploit for YouTube. And with that, we'll take a short break, come back with Jason Wood from Paladin Security, so stay tuned.
IT Pro TV, binge-worthy learning for IT teams. Why is it binge-worthy? It's learning presented in an engaging and entertaining talk show format that beats voiceover PowerPoint snooze fests. Watch over 3,300 hours of content in their on-demand library on your desktop, on the go, or in the comfort of your own living room. IT Pro TV is IT training you and your team actually want to watch, which means a better return on your learning investment. Get started with IT Pro TV for teams by visiting itpro.tv/securityweekly and start a 7-day free trial and get 30% off standard or premium IT Pro TV memberships using the code SECWEEKLY30. Today's determined attackers easily bypass even the most advanced network defenses. Trying to ramp up staff to detect their back doors can cost thousands of dollars and take months, even years. With Active Countermeasures AI Hunter, we enable junior analysts to detect even the most advanced back doors in a matter of hours. Sign up for a demo and purchase our product today by visiting activecountermeasures.com/HNN. Active Countermeasures, make every analyst a hunter.
Welcome back, everyone, to Hack Naked News. Just a reminder, a couple of things before we get started here. Make sure you check out itpro.tv/securityweekly for all of your IT and security training needs. You can subscribe as an individual or your corporation can subscribe, and you can train up your entire IT team, your development teams, and really anyone in your organization. So make sure you go do that. The other note is in Graham Cluley's blog on the most popular YouTube video, it was spelled incorrectly as Despacito. It's actually Despacito. Because I know, Jason, you were noticing that, because that's your favorite song, I think you were saying during the break. So
absolutely.
Jason Wood from Paladin Security, welcome to the program today. I am told you're going to be talking about universal plug and pray, or play, or universal plug and proxy. What is the acronym, Jason, that we're talking about today?
Yeah, so as you said in the intro, at the very beginning, we're having a little bit of a blast from the past here with UPnP, or Universal Plug and Play, as it's supposed to be called, but we, you know, call it Universal Plug and Pray and Universal Plug and Pwn, and in this case, Akamai calls it Universal Plug and Proxy, according to a white paper that they've released. And I thought this was interesting because we have talked about UPnP for years as a really pretty insecure protocol. I remember you, Paul, and Larry discussing this quite a bit 10 plus years ago when you wrote your book on hacking the WRT54G.
Yeah, it's pretty much the quintessential meaning of vulnerable protocol. It exemplifies what we refer to as vulnerable protocols.
Yeah, I mean the protocol is something else. We'll talk about how that works a little bit for those, maybe as a quick overview for those who are not.
Oh, I can give you a quick overview, because most firewalls, especially consumer ones, will just accept universal plug and play requests, which means when a device on the network needs to open up a firewall rule, it can just tell the firewall, hey, I need a rule open. And then the firewall will just write a rule for it, and then ports will be opened, and there you go.
Pretty much. That's it right there. So, you know, you want to catch up with your buddies and play PUBG or PUBG, right? And group up. Maybe there's a port forward that needs to be implemented and your game console just does that for you. No authentication needed.
I've been spending my gaming time on Fortnite. I don't know if my kids are really into that. I really stink at it, by the way. I die like instantly. It's really sad. It's really sad.
I'm really not too good at those games because I pop my head over something or other and I get greased before I knew anybody was there. It's over quick. My son's been having a good time with it. So we've been saying that this is a problem for years. Well, Akamai has come out and said, hey guys, not only have we been saying it's ripe for abuse, now the days of abuse are upon us. It is being actively used and exploited remotely on badly designed devices. And this isn't something where you have set up something incorrectly yourself. This is just a feature, I guess you could say, of your router where UPnP gets exposed to the internet and they didn't tell you about it. So, surprise. And you've got this idea where we have an unauthenticated protocol that allows you to, or allows devices rather, to reconfigure the security of the device.
This is
and
on
access
the,
to your network.
I'm sorry, this is on the outside, because typically UPnP will be on the inside, and I've run into it actually helping out our next door neighbors here at the Cigar Lounge. I put a new firewall in for them, and like magically, things that I didn't write firewall rules for were working, but that was because they were modifying the inside. But what you're saying, and so you have to be on the inside of the network to send those packets to have the firewall open up the ports. But what you're saying is it's on the outside so that anyone on the internet can open up ports on your firewall.
Pretty much. Yeah, the makers of home routers and stuff like that having a difficult time separating the LAN interface from your WAN interface. So what the hell? Let's just listen on both and call it good. The Akamai cited another instance where security researchers have pointed out problems like this. One in particular that I caught was from 2013 when Rapid7 did an inventory across the internet and to find UPnP on WAN interfaces, and they found 80 million devices exposed. And they go on to, Akamai then goes on to discuss how they're seeing this abuse. Now, you know, basically what is going on is the attackers are sending these requests to either get access to your internal network to take some action or to help obscure what they're doing as they set up chains of these UPN proxies, as they're calling it, to send traffic through home routers in a wild, crazy mesh that's really difficult to walk back. So if you're law enforcement investigating this, good luck, right? And it's going to home net users. So, you know, not like you're going to talk to somebody in IT at that point and say, hey, what's going on here? Nobody's going to know. And this is all voodoo magic that's happening behind the scenes, right? So imagine this. Basically, the attacker is out here running a scan, looking for UPnP out on the internet. This is UDP port 1900. Now, it's a UDP port, so port scanning that down can be interesting. But UPnP is fairly well understood. Yeah, UPnP. Man, I'm getting abbreviation screwed up on my mind. UPnP is fairly well understood, so you can craft a legitimate response to it. And at that point, you should start getting some responses back. You'll start to deal with some timeouts, though. While, let's say, Nmap or whatever your script is waiting for a reply and finally gives up. You build up your list of devices, and then you start making requests to it to reconfigure the router to allow you now remotely internal access into the environment. And their white paper that Akamai has produced actually shows screenshots of how the security posture is changing, and they're getting access now into the internal environment through a router that they've reconfigured from the WAN inside. How are attackers using this? Well, I've already mentioned the idea of using it to obscure their tracks and creating this chain of proxies that's indecipherable. But they're also being used in some ways. You know, you can be a little sympathetic for the first one, which is bypassing censorship, potentially. So that could be interesting. The rest of them, though, I'm not too sympathetic for. You know, they talk about using it for spamming, click fraud. So essentially, you know, in the case of click fraud, we are hitting all of these links and obscuring it by going through all of these different home routers. So it looks legit to the fraud departments or organizations that are of these advertisers. And so, yeah, that's one way of taking money from somebody else and messing around with them. Credit card fraud, collecting account information, denial of service, botnets, and more. You know, you can get kind of creative with this one. I mean, not only are you getting access to the internal environment, but you can change things around on the device itself a little bit here. So yeah, it's pretty wild to think that this is a problem with what are supposed to be security devices. They can't tell the difference between a LAN and a WAN port. The white paper itself includes a list, and it's a lengthy list of vendors that have problems with this. Just to take a quick look at it here, there's some, you know, really some names here you may have heard of, such as Asus and Belkin and Alpha and much more. Logitech, it looks like, MSI, you know, HP, the list goes on and on. It's all kinds of fun. So go ahead and take a look at that. I'd recommend you know, looking at your router at home. You may be running this and not realize it. I mean, I kind of started poking around at my own router. They've got some scripts inside of the white paper that you can use to help determine whether or not you're vulnerable to this issue. Apparently, the resolution to it, if you have a vulnerable device, is basically to replace your device with one that doesn't have this issue. So I take that to mean buy a new device, test it. Oh, nope, not that one. Let's try another one. Buy it, test it. Oh, that one I got lucky on. If you are using the scripts and from the white paper, it's a PDF, which you get some funky formatted single and double quotes. So you'll have to do some messing around with that as you put it into your text editor, because Bash won't like that. But go take a read of it. Like I said, there's a long list of some pretty common devices that are available out there that are vulnerable to this issue. We've got the link here inside the show notes. So yeah, we've been saying that this is a problem for years, and here it is, folks. It's actually being exploited in the wild and being used by the bad guys. Go check it out.
Yeah, and some of those devices in that list, Jason, I'm not sure that if that's the default configuration or if they're on the internet due to misconfiguration or a combination of both. I thought it was interesting. There's a printer on that list. Yep. OpenWRT is on that list, which I know for a long time did not have that enabled on the WAN interface by default. But of course, people roll all their kinds of custom versions, and OpenWRT is open source. So, you know, that could be someone has taken that and using that in some deployment, and it's ending up on the list. So I thought that was an interesting read and good commentary. Thanks, Jason. And thank you, everyone, for listening and watching this edition of Hacknik News. See you next time.